2 Corinthians chapter number 11, once again. Let's continue looking at this subject of Satan's systematic scheme. Installment number 3, part number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Remembering through this entirety, beginning and end, John records it in chapter 10, verse 10, that the enemy, this Satan that we're talking about with systematic scheme, his sole purpose, his entire purpose or goal, effort, every time he looks at you, what's in his thinking is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. There is nothing good, no matter how glamorous he paints a picture, no matter how rosy it may seem, no matter how much it glitters. Steal, kill, and destroy. That is his sole effort and purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Before we read, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, you've certainly blessed us today with your Spirit. Thank you for the time of worship, sharing together in worship. Thank you for this special song that speaks to our heart as well from your heart and your grace. I pray for your special anointing and touch as we open up your word. I pray, Lord, that you would bless, defeat the darkness of sin, breaking the strongholds of the enemy in our lives. Through the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, we rest and trust in you and give you the praise. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. But I fear, verse number 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtleties, through his scheming, through his strategizing. That is an alarming statement, isn't it? Verse number 13, for such are false apostles, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The thief comes to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came so that we can have life and have that life more abundantly. Jesus came to give blessing. There's been some things that we've considered in the last few weeks about this. First of all, the indifference that Satan would like for us to have of his existence. Make us think that there's really not that big of a deal, have an indifference about us in relationship to him, and then also an ignorance about his tactics, an ignorance about his ways, even an ignorance about his purpose. And I've been trying to emphasize, I believe every time, that his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And I hope that that is sinking into your mind, into your heart, as you allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to a penetrating force within, and then just as much to realize that Jesus Christ, on the other hand, came to give us life, and to give us life more abundantly. We want to look this morning to this subject of infiltration. Indifference, ignorance, and also infiltration. Infiltration is kind of a different word. If he can't destroy us through indifference and ignorance, he'll do his very best to infiltrate our lives. Infiltrate our lives can simply be described as an effort of his to come in such a way to where we willingly tolerate sin. Willingly tolerate sin in our lives. Paul the Apostle records in Ephesians chapter 4 that we should not even so much as give place to the devil. Don't even give a little bit of an opportunity for him. Don't even crack the door to him. Don't give him any kind of a foothold within our lives. Anything to do with sin and the effort of sin, we must do our best to avoid by the power of Jesus Christ working in us as a saint, as a follower of Christ. Where the blood has washed away sins. We can't do it on our own. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. But through the power of Jesus Christ, following him, he's challenging us, he's telling us not to give place to the devil. Being infiltrated by the enemy would simply be that we are giving him that foothold to where he can get a toe in the door, just a little bit of an opportunity to speak or to do or to present something to us. In the book of Proverbs, the wise man asked the question, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? There's something about fire in a little boy, at least. Maybe there's some girls that like fire too. But there's something about fire that we want to play in it. You go to a wedding reception and they've got candles. You've got candles on the tables. Inevitably, somebody, probably 99% of the time, is a man. A little boy inside that man that wants to play with that fire. I know that I had a little boy camping just not too long ago, and he had a great time playing in the fire and playing around with the coals. And yeah, sure enough, he got a little too close, and he felt them a little too keenly. Can a person take fire in his bosom and not be burned, and his clothes not be burned, or his fingers not be burned? There is the speaking to the infiltration of the enemy. You and I do not have within us the ability to hold at bay the darkness or the temptation or the infiltration. We must have the shield of the Holy Spirit to guard us, because the devil can't beat us through indifference or ignorance. He will work infiltration in our lives. I think I've told this story before, but a pastor in Haiti created a parable or an illustration of how dangerous it is to give the tiniest bit of compromise or that tiniest bit of opportunity to the devil. The story was told by a pastor in Haiti, and it went like this. A certain man wanted to sell his house for so much money, $2,000 at the time. That's unreal. That's unheard of in our world. But another man wanted very badly to buy it, but because he was poor, he couldn't afford the full price. After much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half of that price. Can you imagine buying a house for $1,000? So just whatever the figure is that you think a house would be worth, cut it in half, and this house owner, this homeowner, is willing to sell it for half the price, but he wanted to retain a little bit of ownership, one small nail protruding from just above the door. One small nail protruding above the door was his portion of ownership for half the price. After several years, the original owner wanted his house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell the house back to him. So that first owner, the original owner, went out and he found the carcass of a dead dog and he brought it in and he hanged it from that nail that he still owned. Fully owned that one nail. You know how that story's going, don't you? Soon the house became so unlivable and the family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the nail. And the pastor told his congregation, if we leave the devil with even one small peg, if we leave the devil even with one small peg in our life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for Christ's habitation. That's the definition of infiltration. That's the definition of infiltration. Just give him a little bit of an opportunity, just a little bit of a chance, just a little bit, and that ruthless enemy will be bringing something into our lives. It doesn't matter what it is. As I mentioned a bit ago, it doesn't matter how glamorous it is, how much glitter is attached to it, how much promise of blessing or how much promise of prosperity is involved with it. When we give him that little peg in our lives, he brings something gross and despicable within to destroy us. You see, we're told in 1 John chapter 1 that we have to be confessing and we have to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Did you think about that when you read that verse the last time? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know where your mind is going right there in that, but there's a lot of ways that the enemy can infiltrate. And the only way that we can protect ourselves from his infiltration is to be fully committed, fully on the side of the one who is more powerful than the enemy. Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Have you ever heard the question asked before, who is or what is the opposite of God? The opposite of God. What do you think of is the opposite of God? Maybe a lot of people would say, well, that's immediately, you think of that, that's the devil. Well, no, it's not. Really, it's not. Because the devil is not as powerful. The devil is not all-knowing. The devil is not omniscient. He is not all of those things that we attribute and recognize are the attributes of God himself. He is more on the level of the angels, the archangels. When it comes to the fight between the two, we have to understand that there is more with us than be with them. We're on the winning side. God is greater than the enemy. And anytime that you allow the devil to have a foothold in your life, you are giving the devil. How does he work in the way of infiltrating? Well, there's a lot of lists. There's a lot of lists. You can find all kinds of lists that the enemy uses to penetrate or infiltrate or distract us or to make us indifferent or to make us ignorant and to lay down so that he can. There's all kinds of stuff that he can use to penetrate or to infiltrate our lives. One of those things that's been listed in some different lists is that he does his best to keep us busy with non-essentials. Non-essentials. What do you mean by non-essentials? Well, we can become so wrapped up in the temporal that we fail to realize the things of eternity. It's not that we are not supposed to be involved with the things of this world. We are not supposed to use the things of this world. He said that we must use the world and to be a part of this world, but we hold them loosely because of the eternal values that are beyond, that we can't see, that we can't feel, but we can look to out of the Word of God to realize that we are not a permanent resident of this world. So many times the enemy uses things like money, debt, overspending, working long hours to fulfill and to maintain the emptiness of a lifestyle of indebtedness. Getting so wrapped up in the temporal things that family time is sacrificed and family and homes are disintegrated and there's no refuge from work and there's no end of the pressures in life. The infiltration of the enemy would do everything that he can to focus our attention on these present things to consume us, to lose sight of the eternal. And the eternal is our family. You've heard it said, you've said it perhaps, the only thing we're going to take to heaven are our family members, our kids, our grandkids. There's a lot of things here. Hollywood is for one that has done everything that it can. I believe that it is nothing more than a tool of the enemy to infiltrate or to penetrate our minds and our focus, our direction and pattern, make us be patterned after them to force us into that mold and the attractiveness of it all. The things of Hollywood that have been consistently force-fed into the minds of the viewers. Can I say it again? And will you listen to me? Will you hear me and hear me say it with a heart that I believe comes from the heart of God Himself, that Hollywood or even this world is not a friend of grace? Somebody said that the way that the devil would infiltrate our lives is to involve them in good causes, so that they won't have time for the eternal causes. For the eternal causes. Somebody else said that busy, B-U-S-Y, simply means being under Satan's yoke. Just simply being busy for the sake of being busy, because we live in a rat race and we don't know how to stop and to step back and to pause for a moment. That's one of the things that I really have appreciated about what I've been listening to Charlie Kirk. That 24-hour period where he shuts everything off and he spends time as a Sabbath, he said. I don't know what all that means, but he's talking about shutting everything else down. And he said, if I come into your home and it's the same as every other day, then you're not really living the Sabbath. Wow, he's talking very specifically about how the devil will penetrate or infiltrate us and to cause us 7 days a week to be pounding our minds in order to stay ahead or to get ahead and to advance. Dr. David Jeremiah, if I were to quote a holiness preacher here, you might shut me down. So let me quote a Dr. David Jeremiah here. Satan prods us to clutter our lives with a frenzy of programs, hobbies, activities, entertainment, sports, useless internet trivia, not to mention the accumulation of things that keep us occupied with maintenance and payments. The devil's fiery darts come in all shapes and sizes, not the least of which are the darts of distraction. And he fires them relentlessly with the ultimate goal of destroying God's people. Boy, it's almost like he was paraphrasing John 10:10, that the thief comes to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. It's as though he's quoting that in a different way. He says it so succinctly from his perspective that the devil wants to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. Infiltrate. He wants to infiltrate. The sole purpose of the enemy of our soul, the sole purpose of Satan himself is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus tells us in that same verse that he came to give life, and he came to give that life more abundantly. But be aware, because the devil, the enemy, is ruthless. He is conniving. He is scheming. At this point, let me remind you of the scheming that he did with Job. Do you remember what he did with Job? I can bring up Job so many times. You probably get tired of me bringing up Job. But listen, again, focus on what he did and how he was scheming with Job. When God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Apparently he had been. Because he said, "Yes, I've been walking to and fro. I've been going up and down in the earth. And now that you mention Job, I have scouted him out. I have looked him up and down. I have watched his every move. And I have come to the conclusion that if you, God, will remove so much of the hedge that you've put around him, I can get him to curse you." He was scheming. You see destruction around you. You see problems around you. You understand that there's heartbreak and all kinds of chaos that a person goes through, and the troubles that are mounting in people's lives. We can see that it's a very dark day for some people. And you wonder, why did God allow that? But how about we step back and wonder how much God has not allowed? How much God has kept a hedge about my life or your life? He did that for Job. He said, "You can go and take everything that he has, but spare his life. Don't touch him." And then when Satan came back again and he had to admit that he was wrong in his assessment, but he amended his assessment. He said, "If you allow me to touch him." And so God took that hedge away. But spare his life. I wonder how often God keeps and holds a hedge around us. My thought right now is, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that hedge. I want you to be aware that the devil is scheming to get you. If you have confessed your sin, if you profess the name of Christ, if you say that you are a Christian, then the devil has already, just because of that, he has put a target on your back. I believe last Sunday I talked to you on the floor about that. I want you to be aware of something just as much, though. 1 John chapter 3. You know, the purpose of the devil is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." That means that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's talking about Jesus Christ. The Word, the purpose of the Son of God was manifest. What was the purpose of the Son of God being manifested? To save you? Yes. But John here gives us a different facet into why he was manifest to not only save us, not only to forgive us of our sins and to transform our lives, to make us a new creature in Christ Jesus, but he says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That means to tell me, that seems to tell and indicate for me this morning, for me to tell you today, that no matter how much he presses with indifference, no matter how much he pushes with ignorance, no matter how much of an effort he has to give and to infiltrate your lives, that Jesus Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. The devil may be fighting you. The devil may be bombarding you. But remember that if we keep our focus, our faith, our confidence, our resting in him, in Christ, he was manifested to destroy that effort. Destroy. Not leave a little foothold. Not leave a peg in the house. A nail for him to hang something, but to destroy the works of the devil. Praise be to Jesus. The great gift that he's given to us, the promise of his strength being shared in our moment of weakness when we trust him. Let's stand together this morning. No matter how hot the battle gets, Jesus has already provided victory for us, for you. No matter how dark it is, Jesus has the light of heaven for you, for me. No matter what goes on with the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Trust the Lord bless you with a good Lord's Day. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget our services this evening. Choir again at 5:30 tonight. So keep that in mind. Chad Damon, would you dismiss us in prayer?